la baila sin parar. Todo el mundo goza en este rico lugar. Todo el mundo ajeno a lo que está pasando. Así es la vida que va. Ahora me pregunto por qué estoy así. No sé dónde estoy, no sé a dónde ir. Y me veo estúpido como estos versos que no quiero seguir. Soy un hombre en una prisión, soy un animal herido. Me ilusionas con ese amor y me lo tienes prohibido.
¿Pero por qué te portas tan mal conmigo, negrita? Vamos a gozar ahora, ¿eh? Ahí nada más, vaya.
Welcome to the Noontime Public Affairs. That is Mala Niña from Salsa Celtica.
I couldn't help but dancing through that one. Oh, that was a good one.
If you combine salsa and Celtic, that's pretty cool. And so I like to play that every now and again. So
very nice.
We'll just
nice.
Pod that out.
Yeah, nice selection.
You are listening to the Noontime Public Affairs here on KAFM Grand Junction, Colorado, 88.1. And my name is Rick Castellini.
And I'm Matt Kettlewell.
And we are the computer guys here to help you with any kind of technology question you have. Computers, tablets, phones.
Websites.
Anything. Anything you want to talk about technology, give us a call today. 241-8801, extension 1. Or you can tweet us. We're both on Twitter. Matt is at Kettlewell, K-E-T-T-L-E-W-L-L. Mm-hmm. And I'm at Help Me Rick. And we will kind of monitor our Twitter here. We will monitor our Twitter through the hour. And if you have a question you want to submit it via Twitter, we are more than happy to take questions in that manner. But we love phone calls because then we can quiz you and flesh out the details and give you even a better answer at 241-8801. And again, you're listening to Noontime Public Affairs. And let's get to our underwriters, Matt.
All right.
Okay, all the particulars out of the way. We thank all of our underwriters to make this hour possible. And now to make it even a better hour, we need participation from you, the listener, or the tweeter, or however you want to reach us to ask your computer questions, or if you just have comments and you want to drive them by us. Maybe you're looking at purchasing a tablet. Maybe you're looking at purchasing a new laptop for your graduating high schooler. Anything like that, we are happy to get you on the air and talk to you about it. Maybe you're interested in IKEA's new high resolution HD TV with less cables and clutter. We'll talk about that too. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I saw the headlines on that, so I'll be curious to hear the details on that.
I haven't read the details, so I just put that out there. But I've got it in my things. I want to check it out because IKEA is pretty simple stuff, and I like that. Simple is good.
Yeah. Well, how's this one? How is a perfume of an Apple MacBook?
I just don't like perfume.
You don't like perfume?
I hate perfume, in fact.
Well, in fact,
what does a MacBook smell like?
Well, there is an art gallery that has put some perfume designers to the test to basically pull together all the smells that you would have associated with a freshly opened MacBook. You know, so this includes the wrapping, the plastic, you know, the actual aluminum casing. So they put it into a smell, and they're going to put it on display at an art show.
Oh, wow.
And it is not for sale, though. So if you want to gather this smell, you will have to go directly to this art show.
Now, I've opened a lot of MacBooks and Apple products and computers in general, and I have to say it's pretty vague, the smell. There's nothing real strong about the scent that comes from a box.
Yeah,
it's not like new car smell.
Or new shoe smell or something. Yeah.
Do you think? I mean, do you?
I've never witnessed.
Maybe styrofoam? I don't know. It's crazy.
It's a reach for me. But, you know, the Apple craze goes all the way to perfume now.
That is crazy. Hey, now here's a story I just came up with that kind of goes against my grain. People probably, and I'm surprised somebody hasn't called me on it, but up to 35 million people yesterday were affected by a Gmail outage. You're a Gmailer.
I'm a Gmailer.
Were you having any problems yesterday?
I was not.
I was not either. Now, I don't know how many total people that they have. Oh, I guess it says the outage affected less than 2% of the Gmail user base. So you can do some quick math there and figure out how many people they have. But it says that there were up to 35 million people, that there was a slight outage yesterday around noontime Eastern.
So about 10 a.m. our time.
It's the first major outage since last October. Last year, this is good though, in the article, last year, Google, with their Gmail service, attained a 99.984% uptime.
That's better than most other companies can even dream of.
That's pretty darn good.
That is really, really good.
So people make big things of some of these outages, and you see these big headlines, and I clicked on this big headline. Outage affects up to 35 million people, which is a lot of people. And if I'm one of the 35 million, I would not be very happy.
Right.
But when you look at it for the forest and not just the trees, you see that that's just less than 2% of their overall user base.
Right.
And the outage lasted less than an hour.
Oh, wow. So it's
in fact, it says it was closer to a half an hour than an hour. So, it's one of those sensationalistic headlines.
Sure.
I clicked on it.
Yeah. It got you.
But once you read it, you find out, hey, it's not as bad as it seems.
Yeah. When you put it into perspective, you know, a half hour outage, you know, in a year's time really isn't that big of a deal. I mean, it's okay to walk away from the computer for half an hour and, you know, stretch the legs.
I had to fly from Denver to Boston and back without Wi-Fi. 4 hours.
Oh, you poor thing.
And I survived.
Wow. That's amazing.
But it is truly amazing that we're so connected.
Yes.
That I walked into the plane and said, is there Wi-Fi on the plane? Because I was totally willing to pony up the $5 or $6 to get Wi-Fi on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say, if you've ever done it and had internet on the airplane, it's very speedy. You would think it wouldn't be very speedy. It's speedier than hotel Wi-Fi.
Oh, wow.
It is pretty nifty. And it's kind of fun to be online and shooting emails and browsing the web while you're 38,000 feet up in the air.
Absolutely.
It's kind of fun. But I was flying Wild Blue. Not Wild Blue. That's the old internet company. JetBlue. And they don't offer Wi-Fi in any of their planes yet.
Oh.
They said they're going to add them in June, apparently.
Ah.
But it was good flight, good people, and very, very efficient.
Good.
But yeah, you can. You can go a half an hour without email. And I agree with you totally.
Yeah.
241-8801, extension 1 is the phone number. 241-8801, extension 1. Or you can tweet Matt at Kettlewell or me at Help Me Rick. Either one.
And if you're a Facebook user, you can find me, Matt Kettlewell, as well. And I respond through Facebook as well.
Are you so you're Matt Kettlewell, not just I guess you have to have first and last
right,
name.
Right, yeah. Well, yeah, when I selected my name, I chose first and last. I think Kettlewell was already taken.
Ah, okay.
Right.
Interesting.
But, yeah, so I do Matt Kettlewell. And if you just do a general name search for Matt Space Kettlewell, I'm one of the first ones that come
up. Speaking of which, in fact, I'm going to do it right now because I'll answer my own question. But if I do a search for Matt Kettlewell Facebook, will that come up? Come up in general searches yet?
Yes.
There it is. I did Matt Kettlewell Facebook, and there you are.
Yep. So you're talking about doing a Google search or other search engine search.
To find people on Facebook.
Yes. So that is another
way.
I
don't know why you'd want to do that, but.
Sometimes I do because I've found that the search results I get from Facebook aren't quite right, but I'll go over to Google and do the same thing because if I turn on my personalized results,
hey, I found you on the podcast show notes now.
Yeah, nice,
cool,
nice.
That helped me, Rick. Good.
Yeah. So yeah, I just find that Google is a great place to go search out people. If I know I'm looking for a particular person and I can't find the right profile or something,
right?
It's a good way to
finding people on Facebook is not easy.
No, it's not.
I found that. I found it's just not an easy thing to do.
Right, and especially if they don't put up a profile picture, and
right.
So you don't have anything to reference, or if it's a profile picture that's not even them, which
right.
You know, I mine's not. Mine's a puppy dog. I go back to Google for a lot of searching as just a general purpose tool to find information about people, businesses, places, things. Yeah.
Cool.
Absolutely.
I saw one place where I don't have you yet, and that's in the about the show area.
Oh, yeah. I noticed that this weekend.
Yeah. That, I have you in the other areas, but not there. So yeah. I may try to, since we're not getting any calls, we're going to do some... We're going to do some live blogging. I've got to look up my password. Maybe I'll do that tonight. Remind me, though, Matt. I just saw that. I thought I had you on both the pages, but not on this other page. So I need to put that up there.
Yeah, so that's an important reminder for everybody else, too, is go back and check your website periodically. And keep it current. Yeah, keep it current. You know, if you have staff that comes and goes, you know, make sure that you're updating it, or new product lines, or phone numbers, addresses, whatever. There's a lot of information on your website that, you know, I'd say once a month or every 2 months for most businesses. Just go back and, you know, freshen it up. Make sure, you know, just do a quick double check.
And if you've got an older website, do try to pare out some of that older stuff if it's not relevant anymore.
Absolutely. You know, time changes, and I've gone back and I've just simply removed a whole lot of old content because it just doesn't apply. You know, and this is for people that do blogging and things like that. Yeah, there's a lot of content that just simply is irrelevant today.
That's right. That's exactly right. Or it makes it look really old, makes your site look really dated.
Exactly.
And so it's good to get that out of there.
Yeah.
I'm sure that out of the 2,000 plus articles on my site, there's probably a few I need to pare out of there as well. Hey, I found the IKEA TV. IKEA is coming up with a new furniture system called Upleva, which is the Swedish word for experience. So I don't know if I pronounce that correctly. But it's actually they're integrating the television into the furniture. So, for example, the first one that they're talking about is they're integrating an LED TV, a sound system with wireless bass speakers, an internet connection, CD, DVD, and Blu-ray, all in one assembly piece. And to further simplify things, they've combined all the controls into a single remote. The furniture surface is especially designed to allow the remote signal strength through, so the devices can remain hidden from view.
Nice.
And they'll have four different screen sizes from 24 to 46 inches in this first offering. Very interesting. No pictures. I don't see any pictures yet. But that's pretty cool. Yeah. That's in the Bloomberg Business Week this week.
Oh, very nice. I speaking of IKEA, I found a really funny photo that I shared on Facebook this week, and it was an interview at IKEA. And so it shows the manager behind the desk, and he's pointing across the way, and he says, "Please have a seat." And down on the seat were all the bits and pieces to a chair.
And that's pretty cute.
Yeah.
That's cute. I like that. Because you know what IKEA is, and you've ever had to build one of those things. It takes some time sometimes, but they always work. Follow the directions, they always work.
Yep.
Very cool. 241-8801, extension 1. Now, one common comment that we get about our show here is that I listen, but I don't understand anything you're saying. And that's the comment that we like to hear because our most common response is that you should call.
Absolutely.
Because if we're saying things or talking about things that you don't understand, that's the opportunity for you to call up and say, clarify.
Right.
And I think one of the things that's kept us on the air as long as we've been on the air is we do not talk down or belittle anyone. In fact, we clearly state very upfront that we know about 1% of what there is to know in technology.
Oh, absolutely.
But we understand a lot of technology, so we can help work through some questions people have. In fact, I constantly am learning new things, but I find that because of the background that we do have, we're able to kind of work through all the clutter of techno jargon and get to the meat of the answer very quickly versus having to read through. Because a lot of people say, well, I've read the directions, I've followed the commands, I called tech support, I'm still having trouble. And there's always some roadblock that is sometimes it's very easy to identify, sometimes it's not, but it's a roadblock that prevents the average computer user or technology user to get past a certain point. And that's where we're here, to help you get past that certain point so you can continue to feel comfortable and continue to be productive with the devices that you own or the devices you're thinking about owning. So give us a call, 241-8801, extension 1, or you can tweet Mr. Matt or I. What else came up in the news this week that you saw that you thought was interesting? I know that there was something with Sergey Brin, one of the founders of Google. He was talking about Apple and Facebook earlier in the week. Did you read anything on that?
No, I didn't.
And then I guess he had to recant some of his statements, and because he was saying something about it, and I didn't read it all. Again, I'm just back from the East Coast where I was doing some school hunting with my son. But he was saying how that Apple and Facebook could kill the internet. And that's the headline
I
saw.
Yeah, I saw the headline about that.
So you and I are headline readers. We got to read.
Yeah.
I was hoping maybe that was one you read. The other thing I read this week is that BlackBerry, those of you that are BlackBerry users, BlackBerry could soon, very soon, be known as a different name. And there are rumors that are elevating every day that they're on the chopping block to be sold.
Mm.
And so that's very interesting. We all know that BlackBerry has gone way, way down
right.
in the past
down to the
couple
point.
Of years.
Yeah.
Well, here's one that I know you will know. Instagram.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. I think it was the week after our last show.
Yeah, yeah.
Between the weeks. Maybe you and Adam talked about
it. Yeah, we did. We talked about this a little bit.
But Instagram sold to Facebook for $1 billion. Instagram currently has a total net income of zero, a total gross income of zero. They offer a free app for iPhones and Google and now Android phones that allows folks to – here's my son kind of laughed at me, thinks I'm very old school. But in my user group last week, people asked me about that, about the purchase of Instagram by Facebook. And they said, what is Instagram? So I brought up the website and showed them some of the Instagram photos, and they looked at them, and they were all puzzled. These are all folks generally in their 50s and over, and they all looked at them puzzled, as I do, because they all look like old photos.
Right, exactly.
And or most of them, anyway. And they said, well, what does it do? And I said, well, you take a picture with your phone that has a nice high resolution, good color, good contrast phone, camera, and then you use this program to make it look old. And then you share it with your friends. And that's the model. That's the model that has had, I don't know, how many, 35 million downloads in the first week that it came out for Android or something like that?
Oh, it was some phenomenal number.
Yeah, it's just crazy. And then this is a company that gives away their product. They don't charge you to use their website. But yet when things came around this past few weeks, Facebook bought them for $1 billion. And that is billion with a B.
Billion with a B.
So what was your take? Give me a little quick synopsis of what you and Adam thought of this.
Well, the
and give me your thoughts of Instagram. What is your take on Instagram? My take is it's another one of 1,000 social networks that you can belong to and participate in. And you can integrate it with other social networks, but basically it takes photos. You can tweak them. Usually people use the filters to make them look older or vintage is the new word buzzword, vintage. Mm-hmm. And then you share them. I mean, that's my take on it. What was your take on what it's supposed to do?
Well, I was actually astounded to learn from Adam that the maker of Instagram did it accidentally.
Well, and I can believe that, and
that kind of highlights the point that a lot of the successful apps out there are going to be social based, and I think it was wise of Facebook to take Instagram and incorporate it into its services because they are a social based service, and the social based services have a lot of behind the scenes money making capabilities. And I think what's going to start happening is we're going to see bigger and bigger services happening that offer a conglomeration of services, and the little ones that try and start up it's the mom-pop kind of social services are going to struggle to make it, because everybody wants to go to one place. They don't want to split their time between 10 or 20 or 30 different services. They want to go to one place. I want to go to Facebook, and I want to do, you know, my photos, my videos, my, you know, whatever. They want to do it all in as few places as possible, and I think that the biggest companies are seeing that. And so they're going to start buying up others that are all part of the social sphere.
Okay.
And so I think that's where Instagram comes from. Is $1 billion worth it? Well, it must be to some extent. But, you know, like I say, there's a lot of money to be made behind the scenes that we don't see because we are the commodity. We, mm-hmm. as the users of a free service, they gain all sorts of information about us and our habits and can resell that to advertisers. So from that perspective, I think it's good. But as far as the actual service itself, I was never really turned on by by Instagram. I just didn't find it. I mean, I remember vintage photos as a kid.
Right.
And so I don't find the nostalgia, you know, the way that some of the younger crowd maybe does,
right.
Where they never really saw these things being taken. You know, I mean, I remember the Polaroids, you know, when we would take
right.
those.
And that's what it looks like.
Yeah, exactly. And they were so horrible. And I can honestly say there's only one or two actual photos of me that might actually classify as being good from a Polaroid. But, you know, but it is kind of neat if you're trying to create a certain effect, because it does give kind of edges and makes it look postcard-y
right,
and
ones.
Stuff. Yeah. So, you know, so some people like it. And if you just need a photo sharing kind of a thing, you're out taking pictures with your phone and you just need a place to put it, Instagram's just as good as any other.
Right.
In fact, I'd say it's probably better than most.
Well, I found a chart. Instagram was released on October 7th, 2010. So it's
wow.
less than 2 years old.
Whoa.
On October 13th, they had 100,000 users of 2010. October 20th, they had 200,000 users. As of March 11th of this year, they had 27 million users. So a year and a half, they went from zero to 27 million.
Wow.
Okay, let's take a quick call. Phone number again, 241-8801, extension 1. Hello, welcome to the Noontime Public Affairs with Matt and Rick. How can we help you?
Yeah, hi, my name is Bob, and I have a simple question. And I have a MacBook Pro, and I do a lot of report writing with this, and I use the Pages software that I got with my Mac.
Okay.
And I insert a lot of photos into these reports I write, and how can I insert an arrow into a photo I've inserted into a report? Do I have to insert that arrow prior to inserting it into the report? I have two photo software programs. I have Picasa and iPhoto.
Okay, and neither one of those are going to let you annotate very well. You can do some. How do you want, like, big blocky arrows or real skinny arrows that you want?
A small little arrow that can point to an item that I'm talking about.
Okay.
In my report. I'll have a big photograph of something, but I only want to highlight a little area of that photograph.
Perfect.
And, you know, point that this is what I'm talking about.
Perfect. Well, I think the easiest way to add arrows and those what are called annotations like that, and maybe even some little text on the photo itself, is to just double-click on the photo from wherever you have it stored, which will open it up in the Mac Preview program. And in the Mac Preview program, once it's open, you can click Tools and then Annotate.
Annotate. Okay.
And the annotate
if
will give you...
Mac language, I'm having a hard time getting
right.
that to.
Yeah, and the annotations, they have some really cool things where you can circle stuff, you can add an arrow, you can add text to it, and then you can export it as a separate file if you want to preserve the original, or you can just save it right over the top of the original file with the new annotations attached to it. And then you can insert it into your reports, and I think that'll be a lot easier way to go.
Okay, great. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Hey, we appreciate the call. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 241-8801, extension 1. That's what we love to do is answer questions.
Absolutely.
So give us a call, 241-8801.
And I always learn really neat stuff about you or, you know, about Macs and whatnot from you because I don't really have a lot of hands-on experience with the Mac.
You don't have any at the house currently, right?
No, we don't have
except
any Macs.
Except for the iPhones. You have Apple products.
Right, yeah, we have Apple products. But I use Linux personally.
Right.
And so everything I do is pretty much a cloud-based solution. Which just works just fantastic. In fact, what I was going to suggest was some sort of a Chrome extension or a Firefox extension that will allow you to do annotations. There's extensions and applications. I was just looking for one. Aviary is one of the drawing programs that allows you to.
Right.
But
I love Pixlr.
Pixlr.
Have you tried Pixlr?
I did once. Yep.
And you're right. I think there are some like screenshot programs.
Yes,
you can get.
Yep. In fact, I use the one from Google. I think it's just called Screen Capture. Let me pull it up. No, it's not really telling me the name of it. But, yeah, I use it all the time.
And does it let you annotate the captures?
Yes, it does.
Cool.
Yeah, so this particular one I have is very limited on its annotation, but there are like 20 or 30 others that allow you to screen capture and then put fancier arrows.
Can
and,
you screen capture something from, like, your computer, or does it have to be on the web?
Everything I've seen, I think you have to be from the web. But I think if you just simply open the file in your browser.
Right, which is possible.
Which is possible with Control-O or Meta-O to just open a file, an image. I believe you could just run it that way.
Yep.
But I was looking, actually, to see if there's any of these annotation programs that would allow you to upload it and work with it from there.
Cool.
And I think that some of the applications, the Chrome applications, I believe they do allow you to do that, but not the extensions that are right in your browser.
Very good. Very, very good. Okay, 241-8801 extension 1, or you can tweet us at Help Me Rick or at Kettlewell, or you can find Matt on Facebook as well. We'd love to get those questions. So we were talking about Instagram and Instagram being bought by $1 billion from this very small company called Instagram. So anyways, we were talking. So what other things did Adam? Because Adam loves Instagram. I think he uses it quite a bit.
I suspect so, yes.
And my son uses it a ton.
Yeah, yeah. Adam knew a lot about it, so I suspect
being
he
a
does.
Photo guy.
Yeah.
He would.
Yes, he is.
But I think you hit on something that is one of my big beefs, is we have so many of these social networking things that you can easily get time sucked. In fact, I had a perfect tweet I had in my head, but I didn't tweet it because I just don't have time to do it.
Right.
But my tweet was going to be, what were you doing with your time before Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, all these things?
Right.
And if you just think about that for a second and think about all of this time that's going into these things, you know, what were you doing? What were we doing? What were you doing before we played solitaire, before on the computer? You know, it's amazing where our time has shifted. And are we saving time with these devices? Are we saving time with our new link to technology? Or are we putting our eyes into these screens more often than not? And are we not using them in a way to give us more time away from screens and away from work? So that's just kind of a question. I'm kind of a philosophical question, but I liked your idea about combining and streamlining.
Yep.
Hello, welcome to the Noontime Public Affairs. This is Rick. How can we help you?
Oh, it's Noontime Public Affairs. I'm sorry. I thought you guys were doing something different on computers and stuff.
No. Anything you
I
want?
Got the wrong date.
No. Anything you want on computers? What's your question?
Oh, okay. Well, here's something you guys can get a giggle out of. I'm still on dial-up. And,
we will get a good one.
Okay, fair enough.
But anyways, recently I had 9.0 with AOL, and it was having this problem where it wouldn't load any of the pictures. They were just being X'd in all the boxes, and that was it. So I ended up reloading AOL, but I thought, well, as long as I'm reloading, I'll update, and I updated to 9.7. And now my computer's slower than it ever was before. And I'm just curious if that's just because it's just now more or less compatible with the dial-up with the new AOL.
Yes,
or
yes on all the things. And I'm also assuming that if you're still on dial-up, you must have an older computer as well.
Well, it's not terribly old. I mean, I guess that's relative these days. But
give us an idea. How old?
It's 3.5 years old.
3.5 years old, and you actually found one with a modem?
Yep.
Or did you have to add the dial-up modem?
Well, I did. I think it just added the dial-up modem. It didn't have a modem. You just added it and just hooked it up, and boom, into the modem and the dial-up, and it worked just fine. But I just haven't progressed to the other thing, DSL, just because, I don't have cable. I don't watch that much TV, and I'm a person who travels a lot, and half the time I'm not in town, and I just never bucked up the money to pay for something that I'm only going to use half the time of the year.
Well, let me ask you this. Is this a laptop computer or a desktop?
It's a desktop.
It's a desktop. Okay, so you don't haul it around with you then?
I don't.
Gotcha. Are you a smart...
Well, when my laptop crapped out, I thought I'd get another laptop, but I ended up at the time just buying a home computer, and what I did. I never replaced the laptop.
How much are you paying AOL every month for your dial-up?
Oh, I just don't pay AOL anything. I pay my
just for using CenturyLink, which was used to be Quest.
Well, but you have to be paying AOL something.
Well, I don't get a bill for it.
You better check your credit card, because they don't offer dial-up for free. You can do free AOL if you have a high-speed connection. But if you don't have a high-speed connection, that's how AOL still makes part of their money, is it you have to pay them for access to their dial-up phone lines. So if you're still hearing all the screeching and scratching of dial-up internet,
which I do,
then you're paying for AOL somewhere along the line.
That may be, and that's maybe how ignorant I am, but I don't get a bill for it, and I had a lapse when I didn't, you know, wasn't using AOL when my laptop went down, and then when I bought my new one, I just plugged in to my phone line just as I had before, and been using it.
Well, I would look into that, but the answer to your question, though, is yes. The dial-up internet is dying because the internet has grown so much. We have so much media, and by media we talk about audio, video, and high resolution photos on the internet, and even web pages themselves are becoming more content rich because of the high speed connections, which is both a good and a bad thing in many cases. In fact,
yeah,
my
AOL now, every time you pop it up, it's an article, and what is it? It's a video.
That's
you can't
right.
even read about the articles anymore. They don't even want you to read anymore. They want you to watch a stupid video. You know?
Exactly. Like, oh, so that's where the dial-up is just, you know, no longer a viable connection for 90. Even email these days is getting too slow for dial-up because your friends and family are sending you very large attachments. And if you're getting a large attachment that's, a video or a slideshow of photos or things like that, it's going to take 5, 10, 15 minutes to download some of those on your dial-up internet.
Oh, yeah, or longer.
Or longer. That's right. So, the answer is dial-up internet is truly a very difficult thing to deal with in today's internet world.
Okay, yeah. And that upgrading to 9.7 just actually exacerbated it even more by having a
probably
that's more compatible to the DSL as opposed to the old.
Yes, I would say yes. Yeah, and
Even
for AOL users back in the dial-up days, I frequently told them dial into you because you have to use the AOL if you're on dial-up. You have to use their software to dial in. But then I always coached my clients to minimize AOL and use another browser. Use Firefox. Use Google Chrome. You do not have to browse in the AOL browser. Because the AOL browser has, since day one, always been the slowest and buggiest way to get on the internet.
Yes.
Huh. Okay.
All right. So that might be another tip for you, too, is download Google Chrome, minimize AOL once you're online, and then do all your browsing in AOL. I mean, in Google Chrome.
Well, I'm soon to make the jump. I mean, I'm at the point where I just, I got to keep my own sanity here, and I'm starting to lose it. So I'm going to have to just get somebody here and bite the bullet, you know.
Yeah, if you've got CenturyLink already, DSL should be a fairly easy upgrade.
Well, they say 7, they do that, what is it, 7 Mbps, but then some people have told me, they said, well, you're not going to be happy with that, and then that's the one faster, and
Seven, you'll be just fine. Anything above 1.5, you're going to be okay.
Yep.
Oh, is that right?
Absolutely.
Above 1.5. Okay.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Because I did talk to CenturyLink about it, and they said that they had several plans, but their low end was 7, and there were so many people, you know, that are out there saying, oh, we're 15 or whatever. And,
right.
You know.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. If you've been on dial-up this long, anything you get in the high speed is going to feel like lightning to you.
Yes, it is. Yes,
I'm
it
sure.
is. Baby steps.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Hey,
I wondered. I just figured it had something to do with going from 9.0 to 9.0. I mean, initially I just thought, well, this will be good. I'll just upgrade and I should be better off. But turns out I'm worse off.
Well, we appreciate the call, and good luck to you.
All right, thank you.
Take care.
You too.
All right, 241-8801, extension 1. We did get a tweet.
Okay, I was going to make sure you got that.
Did you get it also?
Yes.
Oh, he sent it to both of us.
Yep.
Old Daniel. And he says he's a new iPhone user, but one of the glaring things he's missing is the turn-by-turn directions. What is your favorite app for that? I personally have never downloaded one of those because I don't like the computerized voices. But I know that from people who do like the turn-by-turn navigation, the voice part of it, that the two that seem to be always at the top of the reviews are Telenav, T-E-L-E-N-A-V, Telenav, and then the TomTom. TomTom is a company, I think, out of Canada, but they have their own standalone GPS systems, and they quickly moved into handhelds after handheld phones started becoming more and more a norm, and people were stopping, they were no longer buying standalone GPSs because their phone did everything the standalone GPS did. So again, why have multiple devices? So those are the two I think I've heard of, Daniel, that people like are the TomTom and the other one. But I find that the Google Maps is pretty easy to get directions, and I just simply go into the step-by-step, and it shows me the map and real quick, easy to read directions on where I'm going next. And I can also say from experience the last month, I was in New York and in Boston, and it's fantastic for doing the public transportation. You're sitting at a particular spot, and you say, I need to go here, and it will tell you what subway to go to, what stop to get off of, what the subway schedule is. It says the next one's coming up in 3 minutes, the next one after that's in 10 minutes or whatever it is, and it worked very well, just getting around navigating those large cities with no knowledge, no local knowledge at all. So I don't know if I'm sure the turn-by-turns are specifically for you driving.
I would say for driving,
Have you heard anything else on turn-by-turn maps?
No. TomTom is probably the one that I would know the best.
Okay. And then Telenav was that other one that I'd heard of.
Telenav, yeah.
So check those out. They are pricey. I know that. I know that the TomTom's around $50.
Wow.
The Telenav is like $23 a year. So they're not cheap because they're still trying to work with their old model of the standalone, and they want to sell subscriptions and things.
Phew.
So check into that. But thank you for the... thank you for the message. We appreciate that.
Yeah, and I've got a message from a friend in Denver. He's just letting us know he's listening.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, because so, you can listen live.
Live on the internet. So if you're not in your car, 88.1, then you can go to kafmradio.org, and there's a button up on the top that says listen, and click on it, and it'll stream anywhere in the world.
So if you're listening from out of the area, you can give us a call also, 970-241-8801 extension 1. 970-241-8801 extension 1. Back to social networking. You have seen the new Google Plus updates.
Yes.
What do you think? Like them or don't like them?
I'm not sold yet.
Okay.
But I was having a conversation with Adam last Wednesday, and I wish I could find this article that I sent out. It was essentially, it was an inside look into Google and their corporate structure of how they're viewing social networks. Their priority one is social networks.
Okay.
And so there is a plan. And so what I did was I put a timetable in my mind that in the next 12 to 18 months, Google is suddenly going to become viable as a social networking platform, but not until then. They still have more work to do.
Well, and it's interesting. I asked my son, who's young, he's 19 and or 18, and he's almost 19, and so he is using Twitter, using Facebook, using Instagram, using these things, and he is using Google Plus. And I asked him what he thought of Google Plus, and he said, "Well, not enough of his people are over there yet," but he said more and more people are going in his groups. He said what he loves about Google Plus is the way that they do circles, and Google Plus has come out with their little paradigm for grouping people is called circles.
Yes.
So if Matt and I were on Google Plus together, which we are, I can put Matt in as many circles as I want. So Matt's not a family member, so he's not in my family circle.
Right.
But he is in my business circle and in my friend circle. And you can create circles as many as you want, and then you can lump people into these categories. And then when you are using the service, either posting a photo or posting a link to an article or something like that, it automatically asks you which groups or which circles do you want to add or do you want to share this particular piece of information with. And then right up front, you know who has access to the information, who doesn't.
Right.
And he likes that part. And I have to agree with him that that's kind of a thing. That whole organization deal, though,
yep.
But they make you do it up front.
Yes. And the funny thing is that about a week after Google Plus came up with Circles, mm-hmm. Facebook integrated Lists.
Right.
And they have almost the same identical structure, but they use Lists. And you can send things out to particular lists,
okay.
just like you would Circles. Facebook just doesn't make the big deal of it as a center point, whereas Google Plus, it is their center point
right.
of these circles.
That's the start of everything.
Yes.
But as my son told me, and again, I don't have any firsthand knowledge of this, but that the lists and the groups in Facebook are much harder to manage and harder to put together.
I think that's true. Although they did improve it so that anytime you're on a friend's page, there's a drop down that will allow you to select which lists they belong to.
Right.
And so you can just check mark them from there.
Okay.
So they did improve upon that, but I do think that Google Plus has a better mechanism because it's their focal point.
Right. And that's where they started from.
Yes. Yes.
And the other big change on Google is if you are a Google Picasa for photos user and you use their photo albums, they have now pretty much fully integrated Picasa web albums into Google Plus.
Yes.
So if you are already a web album user, your albums have now been or are in the process of being converted to Google Plus photos. And I have to say that the way they display photos is very cool. It's a really nice, fluid system. You can do some live editing, and sharing of your photos is easy to do either via link. You can still do it via link, or if your groups that you're sharing with belong to Google already and they are part of Google Plus, you can do it that way as well.
Right. Right. Now, you're talking about integration, so I just flipped my laptop around so you could see this.
Okay.
Okay, I have Gmail open.
Right.
And what was really interesting to me was I had an invite from somebody on Google Plus, and it had recommendations for other people. When I hovered over their name,
uh-huh.
it automatically came up with the list of circles so I can select them right now. I don't have to go to the G+ website. G+. Google Plus is now integrated into Gmail emails
mm-hmm.
so that I can keep my friends instantly there.
Without having to leave.
Without having to leave my mail platform.
Right.
So that's a productivity tip right there that I just noticed the other day that I thought was like, wow, that's neat.
And you know me, I'm very simplistic. I like things to be simple. I like things to be clean.
Yes.
And if I was to do a lot of – and that's why I like Twitter. Twitter to me is very simple, very clean. It's a very easy system. But I have to say, between Facebook and Google Plus, from a pure aesthetic standpoint, I love the layout of Google Plus. I think they continue to make it a real eye-catching and eye-pleasing service, at least for me. And I guess Facebook kind of reminds me a lot of Windows XP because of the blue. I guess that really – maybe I have a negative connotation because of that. I don't know.
That could be. Now, we were talking about the integration of several social networks together.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to point out one thing, and that is I really use only one platform, and that's Facebook.
Okay.
But I – use externally several others like Twitter and LinkedIn and a few others, but I do it through connections.
Okay.
Okay, and so what I mean by that is when I send a status update to Facebook, it automatically goes to Twitter, and it automatically goes to LinkedIn.
So you now all of them, or do you have a choice to do that at the time of updating?
I have it set so that it automatically does it.
Okay.
But I am very cognizant of that it's going to multiple places. And so I make sure that if I put an image in there, mm-hmm. I try to always have some sort of a status update that's indicative of, from the point of view of somebody from Twitter reading it or mm-hmm. from LinkedIn reading it, that, you know, so that they'll have some context. It's not just an image.
Right.
Because otherwise, if I just post an image, and you'll see this sometimes on Twitter, it just says image posted.
Okay.
Or something silly like that. It's just a link, and it's like, what's that all about?
Right.
You know, it looks very spammy. And so I really try not to do that. So I'm cognizant of it so that I can still participate in other social networks, and I monitor them.
That's what I was going to ask you. How do you monitor if you do get responses on the other networks?
Right. So with LinkedIn, I just rely on email because it's not an instant notification kind of a thing. I don't need real-time talking there. But with Twitter, you do want as close to real-time as possible. And so I use Hootsuite to notify me of any time somebody has messaged me directly. And so I have a push signal that goes directly to my phone.
Right.
And so I get a little signal that says, hey, somebody's contacted you. And so I go and I take a look at it.
And see what's going on.
Okay. Right. And so cool. So I send everything from Facebook.
That's your main... your headquarters kind of thing?
Yeah, that's my headquarters of communication. I used to use Hootsuite, and Hootsuite is a really nice tool to manage things as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I just found that I liked some of the integration of the features of Facebook, and so I stick with Facebook now and try and just syndicate my posts in multiple places. But as long as I am actively monitoring that, it's okay, but it's not okay to just send it out and then ignore it. And make it just a one-way communication because
right.
that's pretty pointless. So I like to make sure I'm still communicating with those that are on the receiving end. And so that's how I can be in one place.
Multiple places at the same time.
Exactly. Multiple places at the same time without having to really be spread too thin.
Right.
Yeah, so it's about time savings.
Now, I wish if you had the ability, though, to be able to say... I want this post to go to these services, but not these services.
Hootsuite would be a much better product for that. Because then you can select, you can say, okay, this particular message, I need it to go to LinkedIn and Twitter, but not Facebook. And you can select those manually right. through something like Hootsuite. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, maybe someday Google will buy Facebook and LinkedIn and get it all under one roof. I would not have a problem with that at all.
I would not either. I enjoy Google's integration of all their products. I go to one place. I have a single sign-on bar. I can get to my Gmail, my documents, my calendar, all that good stuff, all in one place. And, yeah, so that's I can't go everywhere all the time, so I try and minimize how much travel I do on the Internet. But.
Okay, here's I wanted to quickly – the one thing we were talking about Instagram earlier – Instagram was an iPhone and iPad only app until just this month, just till April. And let's see. I'm going to see if I can find the exact date. I think it was like April 4th, April 5th. But in the first 10 days since Android, the Instagram app was released for Android, they saw that they went over 30 to 40. They're still guessing because it's growing so quickly, but it's still between 30 and 40 million new users.
Wow.
Because of adding it to the Android.
Wow.
And we all know that the Android, well, if you don't know, Android is the number one platform in terms of numbers.
Yes.
Because there's a gazillion Android telephones.
Absolutely.
And if you have a smartphone out there and you bought it at AT&T or T-Mobile or wherever you buy your phones, and it can do email and internet and photos and that kind of thing. And it's not an iPhone. It's probably an Android phone.
Right, yeah.
So that's kind of...
Odds are good, yes.
But yeah, 40 million users in the first 10... Well, since they launched.
Yeah.
Which was beginning of April. I can't see the exact date.
It coincided by just a few days from when the Facebook announcement of the purchase was.
Right.
And so one of the big questions was, is Facebook going to munch the app the way they did Gowalla?
Now, what was Gowalla?
Gowalla was some sort of a... it was a real-time search. I don't remember exactly what Gowalla did.
Okay.
But I think it was like a product search type of a thing, but I could be wrong.
And then
what
did they do with it? They just
they made a mess of it. They tried to integrate it, and it just didn't work out. I think it was a check-in kind of a service,
kind of like what's
Foursquare.
Yeah, Foursquare.
Yeah,
there's another one.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's all these different services, and so but Facebook has a check-in, so I use that one.
Okay.
Instead of Foursquare, I've tried to use Foursquare. I just can't get into it, so I use Facebook for that too. So the more services that can be integrated into one service, the happier I am.
Well, and I think more people will understand it too.
Yeah,
but it comes down to who people use the services that their friends and family use. That becomes the next kind of benchmark. If
right.
you have friends and family that are using AOL, you're going to stay with AOL. I have plenty of clients, like we had that previous caller, where their families use AOL. They use AOL Instant Messenger. So they all stay on AOL.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that becomes the big part of it.
Sure, you stick with what you're familiar with. Yep. Change is always difficult.
Yep, it is. Well, let's see. We have a few more minutes. If somebody wants to try to squeeze in a phone call, do you have any other tweets or?
I've got a couple of interesting things here.
Okay.
Number one, it is the Apple II's 35th birthday.
The Apple II.
Apple II.
Oh, you, the old Apple II.
So
yeah. Today is his 35th birthday.
35th birthday. So wow. Happy birthday, Apple IIe.
Now, is that the little guy?
The
little skinny guy with the real small screen, like a 10-inch screen? It was all in one, little 3.5-inch floppy.
No, this was not the all in one. Or was it?
Okay.
No, this had a separate monitor on top and had a little box underneath
it. So it was the previous one, probably.
Yes, yes. But it was a fun one. I grew up with that one. Did some Apple basic programming and whatnot. But there are going to be three flavors to Windows 8. Did you hear this?
I thought it was two only.
They're saying three.
Because they said two, I thought.
Yeah, well, here they're saying Windows 8 has been confirmed as the official name for
the third one, though, is for third world countries. Is that right?
Let's see. And two editions. Oh.
Yeah.
A home edition.
A home and a business. Home and a professional.
Windows 8 Pro.
And then the third edition, I think, is for third world countries that want to do other languages.
No, this one says a third edition branded as Windows RT will be available as an ARM-based system. ARM is a different type of a processor.
Right.
So that's going to be more like tablet-type based. So,
maybe phones and tablets.
Right,
something.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, so...
Yeah, but good. That's good news.
Yes.
That's a good news thing.
Yes, it is. So, but as far as desktops, you're right. There's only two versions, and that is Home Edition and the Pro Edition.
When they started putting in 5 and 6 editions, I thought, what in the world?
I couldn't figure it out even. I don't know how the end user can figure it out.
Well, we better wrap it up.
Okay.
Unfortunately. Very quick hour. We appreciate the calls. We appreciate the tweets. We appreciate the listeners.
Thank you, everybody.
We will be back again next month on the second Wednesday of the month from 5:30 to 6:30. And then after that, we will be on the third Wednesday from noon to 1. Coming up next is Above the Ground with Jake Araya. And they are in the house, and so we're going to turn it over to them right now. Thanks for listening. Make sure to visit Matt anywhere on the web at Kettlewell, me anywhere on the web at Help Me Rick.
Come on, y'all. We gonna Zydeco in the town. Come on.